There's a story in the Apocrypha. That's a Catholic Bible. And some of you may know where it's at if you come out of the Catholic, if you ever read your Catholic Bible. But it talks about a woman, a mother, and I think her seven sons. I believe there were seven of them, and the mother. And a group of mean people came to her one day and said, "We want every one of you to denounce that there is a living God." And they all said, "No." "Okay, then we're going to start with the youngest one, and we're going to cut his tongue out first. And then you must renounce God." So they took the youngest son and cut his tongue off. Nobody would renounce God. Then they cut each hand off one at a time. And then they cut each foot off one at a time. And then they ran the boy through with a sword and killed him and throwed his body out and said, "Okay, number two son." And that mother watched them kill every one of her children. Not one of her children, not one of them, denied Christ in that story in the Apocrypha. And then she was the last one. And they cut her tongue off and cut her arms off and killed her. And they killed everybody in that family. I thought, you know, you talk about a family that really believed in God. Those are the kind, the scripture says, the world's not worthy of those kind of people. See, so has evil been around for a long time? Yeah, but if you haven't read that story in the Apocrypha, oh, it's an awful, awful thing to think. But it tells us here, Jesus expects us to stand strong, and we will win our souls. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Now then, let's go on to verse 21 and 22. "Then those in Judea must flee to the hills, that those in Jerusalem escape, and those outside the city should not enter it for shelter. For those will be the days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the scriptures will be fulfilled." Now then, that's like I've said a lot of times, if I was you in the days we're living in, since they are so unstable, I would try to make sure that I had somebody, either a parent or a relative or a friend or something, that I could make arrangements with them that somebody lives 100 to 150 miles away from this metroplex. Then I would figure out some back roads or some way to get there so that if this chaos that we think is going to happen this year or the early part of next year, if it does go crazy. Now, some of you don't know this, but the director of mass evacuation called me from the Metroplex just a few months ago when I started talking about this stuff. Somebody, or maybe he's on our mailing list, I don't know, but he called me and said, "I listened to your DVD about you think there is a nuclear bomb in the Metroplex." And he says, "How do you know that?" I said, "Well, I'm just getting everybody else's report. I've heard several people say that we've captured a couple of Muslim terrorists that had computers that they said there's actually 10 cities in the U.S. that have a nuclear bomb planted in it, and one of them supposedly is Dallas." So, and he said, "Well, I heard you talk about that, but said, what do you think is going to cause the detonation of that bomb?" I said, "Well, I think when either the United States attacks Iran or when Israel attacks Iran, that will be the key to set off these bombs in America to cause chaos in America." I said, "What do you think?" He said, "That's exactly what I've been told by the big boys. Exactly what you just said." So I said, "So if you're mass evacuation director, if there is a..." I said, "Do you believe there's a nuclear bomb here?" He said, "I know there is one here." He said, "We are looking for it every day with our equipment," and said, "It's like looking for a needle in a haystack." He said, "It's here." I said, "So what are you going to do if they detonate it? As mass evacuation director, how are you going to direct the people out?" He said, "Thurman, you're trying to be funny, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." "There's no going to be no such thing as mass evacuation." I said, "People, every road will be stopped up solid. Nobody will be able to go nowhere. The only way you can move is walk. Maybe ride a bicycle, but you will have to walk." I said, "There'll be total chaos." I said, "Just a little tiny 2-megaton bomb anywhere in downtown Dallas, anywhere, would be devastating. I mean, look what a 20-kiloton bomb did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Those were 20 kilotons, 20,000 tons of TNT. annihilated a whole city. And we're talking about 2 million tons of TNT. What would it do? It would be unbelievable. So what do you think is going to happen? What if it does happen? Well, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to happen until God says it can happen. You know that? It ain't going to happen. Because I have come to realize in my life, my walk with God, the King is in control. So you and I have nothing to fear. He's telling us in advance what to look for, because he's warning us what's going to happen today. And we're seeing it, aren't we? We're seeing it everywhere. For those will be the days of God's vengeance, verse 23 and 24. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for mothers nursing their babies, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. They will be brutality. They will be brutally killed by the sword or sent away as captives to all the nations of the world. And Jerusalem will be conquered and trampled down by the Gentiles until the age of the Gentiles come to an end. Now see, all this that we're reading right now has already come to pass. What we're reading right now has happened. But what has happened will happen again. You know, so that's the thing. That's why we can look at this. If Jesus said this is going to happen, which it already has, in the very near future, I believe these things are going to happen again. 25 and 26. And there will be strange events in the skies, signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. And down here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and the strange tides. What do you think those people felt like in Japan the other day when that earthquake came and they recovered from all the shaking and they think, wow, it's over. And then all of a sudden somebody looks out the window and there's a, this building's only 22 feet tall. What if you had another 8 foot on top of that and it was a wave of water traveling 500 miles an hour? It's that right, Bill. Bye-bye. It's over. That's why it washed away everything. I'm sure all of you saw some pictures of the boats and cars and things and walls and houses. It just tore them all to pieces in a heartbeat. And then we told the people in all up and down the coast of Washington and Oregon and California that this thing was coming. And they told them even when it was going to be here. And they're out there on the sea with their cameras waiting for this thing to come, not expecting an 8 foot wall of water to come out of the ground at 500 miles an hour. And there was people, one guy, they said they found him, after him and his house, he's floating on his house. What was it, 9 miles out in the ocean? Can you believe a man could be that stupid? You know, if they tell me that thing's coming, I'm going inland. It's as far as I can get. I'm not going to be there by the ocean when that thing comes in. I don't want to see it. I don't want to get killed. The courage of many people will falter because of the fearful fate they see coming upon the earth, because the stability of the very heavens will be broken up. I mean, you read that. You know, how many times have you read that and it didn't make any sense at all? Or you just read it and said, that could never happen. That's the way we read it, isn't it? You know, it's just words. It ain't going to happen. But it is happening. We're seeing it happen today. 27 and 28. Then everyone will see the Son of Man arrive on the clouds with power and great glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can go for that. Can't you? The King is coming. So when all these things begin to happen, stand straight and look up, for your salvation is near. We see all this stuff. Every day we wake up, we should say, Lord, is today the day? Of course, I really start saying that on Rosh Hashanah. See, I just happen to believe that he will come on Rosh Hashanah. And that happens to be, man, somewhere along, what day of September? September the 28th and 29th this year. It comes at a different time every year, but it goes by the moon. But I'm thinking that September the 28th and 29th this year, all of a sudden you may wake up, of course, who knows where you're going to wake up in the middle of the night, you in the middle of the day or whatever, but all of a sudden, there he is in the clouds. And you hear him say, come up here. And he'll call your name. Come up here, Thurman. And guess what Thurman's going to do? I'm going to fly away. That's right. Come up here, Tom. You're waiting for that, right? Amen. Come up here. And so he's going to take us away. Wow. So when you see all these things begin to happen, stand straight and look up, for your salvation is near. Verse 29 and 30. Then he gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. Okay, verse 31 and 32. Just so when you see the events I've described taking place, you can be sure that the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these events have taken place. Now, what he's talking about right there, he gives a better description in other scriptures where he says, when you see Israel, the fig tree, become a nation again, then all these things will come to pass. And so Israel became a nation in 1948. In 1948, Israel became a nation, and so now then we're waiting for the fulfillment of all these things, because these things could not, we saw different things like this before that, but he said we're going to see Israel become a nation, then we're going to see all these things come to pass at the same time, and that's what is happening right now. I assure you, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these events have taken place. And I believe we're right at the end of that right this minute. We're so close to these things happening. Verse 33 and 34. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. Watch out. Don't let me find you living in careless ease and drunkenness and filled with the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware. I thought, wow. How would I like to be having a knockdown drag-out with my wife when the king comes? Would that be awful? Oh, and then for eternity, people are saying, what were you doing when Jesus came? Oh, come on, you got to tell me. No, I'm ashamed of myself. Y'all see where I'm coming from? So why should we ever have a fuss? Should we even be concerned about anything? Just slough it off. You know, if your wife has a bad day, you know, I know probably none of you girls have a bad day, but, you know, I hope you don't. But if you do have a bad day once in a while, husbands, when they're not easy to get along with, just love them anyway.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Time for Christians to be Christians, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.